Hail to the king, baby.
I am the devil.
Black Shadow Knight.
Yeah, I'm just blue.
Get your ass to Australia.
Summoning wildlife.
Hello, hello, and welcome once again to Simple Gamers after a massive 3-week break for number 11, episode 11 that is, and it is the 2nd of the 9th in this year of 2011. And joining me today instead of our wonderful Toby is Trent.
I'm just too sexy for Toby.
Far sexy. With his incredibly bad robot mic. Robot mic.
It's the best. It's okay. We will live. Trust me.
All right. Anyway, well, we've got a bunch of stuff for you today, and it will be a slightly longer episode than usual. All things considered, we have left you alone for a very long time. But first up, I'd just like to thank once again all the people who have been subscribing to us. You're very nice. I love you. And remind you to check out our YouTube channel if you are interested, because I will start updating more often as I have less stuff to do.
Just check it, guys. Really. I will have to come and find you and beat you down if you don't. It's just what happens.
It's very important.
Anyway, continuing on.
Trent, anything you want to say before we get into the news?
It's good to be back. My internet's screwed up the last couple of times we've tried podcasting for me. So, it's good to be back here staring at Luke's face through our recording program. It's amazing. He's got this really goofy smile on and everything. It's classic. Now he's running his hands through his hair. He's just like...
They can't see this, Trent. They can't see it.
I'm describing your sexiness to them. Jesus. It's good to be
I'm
here.
I'm glad someone appreciates this. All right. Well, let's get straight into the news.
Straight into it.
All right, well... Tons of stuff for you today, and lots of really interesting and slightly happy stuff, as well as some crazy stuff which I know you love. Starting off, North Korea's at it again. Have been employing MMO hackers to fund government projects.
What the frack?
Basically, Kim Jong-il has, his economy, he's spent a lot of money on nuclear missiles, so he's been hacking into video games with a squad of about 30, part of the Communist Party. They're called Office 39. These 30 hackers basically set up bot factories and farming collectives in MMOs, and has raked in $6 million over the past 2 years, which for a country isn't much, but North Korea is in a sorry state. So yeah, anyway, other than that, Office 39, which is the hacker group, they've been gathering, foreign hard currency through things like drug trafficking, counterfeiting arms sales, and other random illicit activities, as well as hacking people. So, it's really, really good stuff here from Korea, as per usual. Loving it.
It's
good work.
Disgusting on a level that is beyond disgusting. Like, that didn't even make sense in itself, but I don't care. That's how gross it is. Like, who hacks someone's MMO account to steal their money? Desperate people who need more nukes is who? Like, what the fuck?
Desperate Koreans. These bastards.
They can go and play some more StarCraft. I'll beat them in it. Probably won't, but yeah. I'll live.
You'll live. You'll be alright. Anyway, we still love you, North Korea. North Korea's still cool, right? Still cool. You're still cool, guys. Still cool.
If there is actually any North Korean listeners out there, we'd like to reply to that question. Are we still cool? I'd like to know, personally.
Is North Korea still cool? Everyone reply to that question. Emails at thesimplegamers@gmail.com. Alright, we should move on to the next bit of news. A pregnant woman has fended off the labor long enough to see the Skyrim 40-minute long demo. Awesome. This happened ages ago on February 18th. Which is, of course, the perfect day to give birth to a child. They can see the Skyrim demo themselves much later on. So, yes, I am impressed that she decided to do this. I mean, I know Skyrim is valuable and all, but still, good work. Good work, ladies. You hold those babies in there.
I just... Yeah, she'd have to be some form of, like, mega tank to survive contractions as she's going into labor to just sit through the entirety of the Skyrim demo. I mean, it was pretty amazing, but that's a story to tell at someone's 21st, yeah. Definitely.
It gets even better. It gets even better. The baby's name is Atari.
Holy shit.
Yes! Atari!
Oh my god. That's good. That's insane. That's awesome.
Well, I'm proud. I'm proud of this woman and her baby Atari. I hope they have all the best and lots of free Skyrim collector's editions from various magazines. And I hope they got those. Did they put the hard yards in here?
They did. No, fracking standing ovation for them. Man, that's intense.
But yeah, I don't know what to say anything more about that. So, you know, let's get into something we can say a lot about.
Let's do it. I'm ready.
Team Bondi. Earlier last month, there was a big asset sell-off from the company, and I already told you guys that a ton of employees had shifted away to another company who are the makers of Happy Feet, another Sydney Australian studio. Later this month, like literally yesterday, the news was announced, Team Bondi has shut its doors. The guys who made the biggest Australian video game ever and also ruined their image really quickly has closed down.
Oh, what a bunch of tools.
Thanks, Trent. But look, they made a great game, and I'm very disappointed that they closed down, because, you know, it would have been very easy for their management to piece stuff back together and, you know, make sure they can get back on their feet and stuff and rebuild their reputation and make some more great games, but looks like they're done. Team Bondi is done, and most of the employees have shifted away to the company that is made Happy Feet.
Well, like, okay, what I think about the situation is I understand the sell-off from a market decision, but I think management was just going about the entirely wrong way from the beginning. I mean,
we don't want to get into another rant about this.
I know we don't.
We already exploded.
I'm just saying that I think it's really shit that they're shutting down. Like, they could have done so much more and they had a lot of potential. But, yeah, I just think there's like 1,001 other ways that could have gone in a better fashion for them.
Yeah, well, for other reasons other than the obvious, you know, issues with their reputation and the fact that they are a very small studio in a hard-to-get-into industry, especially in Australia, Brendan McNamara has told various interviews that making video games in Australia is an uphill battle, and that they've had to compete with game companies in Canada and the US, where 40% of the budget for the game is provided by the government, where here they've had to go, you know, they sacrificed a lot of money to make this game, and without the return, like, they needed more money than was made by the average video game to keep going.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I guess, yeah, this is too bad, and seeing as they've lost Rockstar, I don't see the studio reforming anytime soon, and it's a sad day for us, but on the other hand, maybe it opens up the market for another couple of studios to step up, join with US firms, and build their own little empire here in the good old Down Under.
The way you speak of it as an empire makes it sound like we're going to start rebelling against the world, man. Just saying.
We will. These governments keeping us down. Bastards.
What whore anyway. Is not paying for our games?
Bastards. We need that money.
We should just start a revolution.
We definitely could.
Seems the way to go about it these days.
A revolution much like the one that swept Britain not too long ago. And as many of you out there will probably know that, you know, there was a lot of riots and some douchebags that they are decided to post photos of their loot on Facebook. So police have, well, Last month, they began tracking these people down via Facebook, raiding their houses, taking them to prison, and giving all their stuff back to the people they stole it from. And also handing them a hefty fine.
Oh, man. And, I think it's okay to loot a corpse, but, you know, just looting from shops and stuff, it's not right. It's not right.
It's not okay to loot a corpse. Let's not talk about that.
You kill an orc, I think you have the right to loot its corpse.
Alright, that's fair enough. Loot rights aside. You know, these guys are pure idiots. I mean, one of the most well-known photos of just... And I'm not just trying to stereotype here. Just this black guy in a green shirt, and he's just got a table full of, like, hair wax and video games, a bloody protein powder, microphones, Xbox 360 attachments, DVDs. What an asshole.
Yep.
And then he put it on Facebook. How dumb is he?
I don't think he can get much dumber, actually. Dead set.
At least with all the stuff I've stolen, I didn't put it on Facebook. Alright? That's the important thing.
Obviously.
To all the police listening, I am kidding. Of course. But along with this, the government and the police in London have finally stopped blaming the riots on Grand Theft Auto. Because that was the main thing. That it all started because that Grand Theft Auto... You know, that guy was, you know, being annoying. The guy who first got shot because... The guy who attacked the cop, you know, because Grand Theft Auto made him do it, as per usual.
What the frack?
And, I mean, even, like, newspapers like the London Evening and, you know, popular newspapers over there have been claiming that, like, children as young as 10, you know, inspired by these evil video games, have been running around smashing windows and breaking cars and... killing people, which is just terrible. Stupid people.
I'm pretty sure it was just the kids that were doing it, not video games. Hey,
yeah, well, you know, it's they're idiots.
Yeah,
I hate them, stupid media. But I am glad that the riots are starting to wind down and that, you know, people can feel a little safer in London, because holy crap, that was absolutely horrific to see happen.
It was definitely one of the most fucked up things I've seen in a while.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, yeah. Not fun to watch. But, you know, in this world there are villains, and there are also heroes. And heroes are probably the better option there. Which is... So,
oh my god.
That was a great segue, I know. Good segues here.
Thank you.
At Simple Gamers. Anyway... basically, a Bungie staffer, Jeff Fletcher, an IT guy who works at Bungie, obviously, had pulled into a parking lot at a US bank ages and ages ago in Seattle, and he saw two guys start shooting at each other. Now, instead of, you know, sitting in his car or hunkering down or being scared, he decided to pull out his own gun while with one guy who had just shot the other one and run away. And ran after him, tackled him, and handcuffed him, and then dragged him back to his car and called the cops.
I don't think there's any other form, larger form of epic than that.
That's just awesome. And people think game developers and gamers in general are fat, lazy bastards.
I don't know many people... Look what happens now, man. Don't know many people... who could run a citizen's arrest that cleanly. Like...
No.
That takes some serious freaking skill.
It's some serious epicness in this guy's bloodstream right now. This guy knows what he's doing. Kids, don't try this at home. Unless you have a gun.
And handcuffs strapped to your weapon.
And handcuffs. They're not even his handcuffs. For some reason, he was just carrying around his dad's old police cuffs, which is even more impressive.
I know, right?
So, it's great. And the cops turned up, and the guy was just sitting there. He was cuffed. He'd been searched for other weapons, and he just told... And the Bungie employee, Fletcher, had told him to sit down on the curb and wait, and was just standing there. Being cool. Which is... I'm impressed. This is good work from this guy.
Yeah,
I know it's not that related to video games.
Awesome.
as that.
You don't. And he, this is truly pro. He is a pro.
He's freaking.
But we might want to. We might want to move away from the US for a bit and come back to good old Australia. A recent Australia. Study. A recent study showed that basically 75% of Australians are duped by science fiction movies. So it was a survey of 1,250 people conducted by the Australian Nuclear Science and Technology Organisation during National Science Week. And basically, you know, they found that three quarters of the people they studied believed that microscopic life was found on other planets, which is mostly true, and that almost half believe that humans can be frozen and thawed back to life.
What the hell?
Yeah. That's,
that's sad. Yeah. I mean,
it is a and also along with that, 44% of people believe flying cars have been built and are being used and tested somewhere, which is depressing.
So
very, very depressing.
Did they just like survey newborn babies or something?
They just went up to people. Well, obviously they were hand-picked, because you don't want it to sound like a stupid study, but they asked them about 8 scientific technologies seen in feature films. So they were like, okay, do lightsabers exist? Invisibility cloaks, hoverboards, are they, you know, are they fact or fiction?
Yeah.
And, yeah. But on the bright side, only 90% of people did understand that you can't travel through time. At least at this point in time. However, on the UK front in Birmingham, a similar study found that 30% of people thought time travel was possible.
Okay, yes. Okay, hold on. If you want to get really technical here, the closer you approach to the speed of light, the slower time travels for you. So depending on what speed you're traveling, technically you're like could have time traveled potentially. So the theory states, I believe there was a test of this, but that's getting off the track. But
yeah,
I think that's all very technical and not quite the time travel we've seen in the movies.
Yeah. So yeah, we live in a world where people are freely able and ready to believe in science fiction. And are pretty, you know, they accept it. And I'm surprised, especially in Australia, that we just accepted this. That most people just accept some of this stuff, you know, right off the bat.
Well, at least we know that the movie Suspension of Disbelief is really getting to people these days.
Yes. At least you know that when people sit down to watch Doctor Who, they're thinking, did that actually happen?
This is all
holy
history.
Holy shit!
Man. Doctor Who, it's historical stuff. We need to study
how do I
it.
Find this guy? on another interesting note, 46% of people over the age of 65 thought reversing the aging cycle was the top thing that science should be investigating. While only 13.2% of 18 to 24 year olds gave a shit about reversing aging. And even then, 10% of people want science to discover how we can live forever. Which I'm disappointed in. We should be really pushing for that, because when we live forever, we'll have all the time we need to discover everything else. Especially Time Lords.
Okay, I think there's an entire philosophical argument we can get into with that statement there, but that's some really interesting statistics. But
that's an entirely different podcast.
Yeah, pretty much. No, here's just a quick statistic for you. But 60% of people straight off the bat believe any statistic that's handed straight to them.
Really?
Yeah.
No, I don't actually believe that. I don't know if I can trust that statistic anymore. Well, look, the important thing is we're open to believing new and crazy things, and I think that's a very good thing. And on the bright side, 3/4 of people said they were interested in science, though they, most of them, did get their information from TV and news.
Cereal packets, yeah.
Well, you know. Well, I'll just give... I hate doing lots of statistics, but I'll give you one last one because it's hilarious. So, guys, prepare yourselves. Lean back in your seats. Another survey a little while ago found that 30% of people in Australia thought that dinosaurs and humans had coexisted at one point on the Earth, like the Flintstones, and that 1/4 of people thought that the Earth took a one day to orbit the sun.
Oh my god. I'm gonna punch
Holy
someone.
Holy shit.
I am going to punch someone. What is this?
So, we've got some very stupid people out here. But we've also got some very smart people. So let's just be happy with what we've got.
What is life?
It's alright, Trent. I know it's all very depressing. In our next news story, though, it looks like PayPal's founder has found life on land to be a bit boring. Woo. So, it's a concept that people have been thinking about for a little while, but no one's ever gone, all right, I'm going to build it. But basically, the PayPal founder is going to build an island utopia. Andrew Ryan, who is, as you can imagine, quite a billionaire, and Peter Thiel... who is the founder of PayPal, are kind of coming together. Like, these floating cities on the ocean will be designed by Andrew Ryan, and Peter Thiel will either be living on them or sponsoring their construction. And what it's going to be is that they basically are aiming to construct little cities of about 200 to 300, maybe 500 maximum people off the east coast of the U.S., to build little island nations in international waters, where the plan is to build places where moral rules, social rules, and political rules don't apply, and, yeah, basically throw people out there, and, basically, you know, give a big, gigantic fuck you to every government on the planet.
My words cannot describe how awesome this is. Like, I remember Jacob, my little brother, showed me some concept art a little while back of an Australian architect. What's it called, Luke? Having verbal diarrhea.
I forget what it's called, but I can describe it for people. So, what Trent's talking about is basically someone designed a giant sort of semicircle that could float on water, be built in deserts, and be entirely self-sustaining in itself, and it was designed by an Australian architect. This is similar to that, but in a way completely different, because these aren't owned by anyone, and it's like, you know, there are really sort of unrestrictive gun laws, and, you know, do what you want just as long as you don't hurt anyone.
Well, I really think it's sort of the way to go at the moment, because, I mean, I don't know, sometimes I feel as though we're being so restricted from further development of our societies by so many different laws, and, I mean, it's a really good way to sort of observe from, like, a northmost objective point of view that, like, what's going to happen out there. But it almost seems to be paralleling Brink, you know, the next thing we know, the ocean level's going to be rising, and they're going to be the last people alive. And we're going to swarm them.
And then we'll be dead.
Yep. It's going to be awesome.
Well, overall, the designers of these and the people who want to get them started as soon as possible want to use them as a government experiment to try and test out sort of new governmental policies and new forms of government, because... For those who aren't aware, completely revolutionizing a government these days is fairly hard to do, considering it would basically destroy an entire country, as you can see through, you know, Libya and Egypt.
Yeah, no, it's definitely fairly problematic these days to try and change up a government on the spot. I mean, the last referendum we had to become a republic a while back failed. Can't remember how much it failed by, but it definitely goes to show how hard it is to change something, especially a government, a type of government that you're running, unless it's by force or with lots of tanks. That generally works.
That's true. Well, I guess we'll wish them the best of luck with this endeavor. Thiel, the head of founder of PayPal, has donated about $2 million to the cause, another $1.25 million really recently, and some other money in the past that really hasn't been kept track of. But an entire floating nation is estimated to cost in the billions. But next year, the Seasteading Institute, the designers of this, will be starting with a small office park type area off the coast of California next year. And, well, best of luck to you guys. I mean, you've got a long trip ahead of you to get this working.
Yeah, no, definitely. It should be good, though, when it's all up and running. Definitely like to see something of it.
We'll be there to visit.
It's going to be weird, landing a plane on an island in the middle of the ocean, but, like, a land island, human-made island. It's gonna be cool.
Man-made island. All right. Well, let's draw it back to the realms of the real and the possible. No offense, but recently in Australia, a lawyer. Oh, I'm very sorry. This is in America. In America, a lawyer has been disbarred for a video game addiction for the very first time ever. 43-year-old Matthew Elshman was fired from the firm he's worked for the past 5 years because he decided to sit down and play video games non-stop, missed deadlines, lost the track of money, lied in a divorce filing, and ignored calls from clients a lot. Probably a bad idea.
Not exactly the wisest career choice, but hey, you know, if you're up for getting fired as such, go for it, you know? Eat your heart out on it.
Get those video games going. Why not?
Just run them all day, 24/7. I'm sure someone will mind and fire you promptly so you can play video games for the rest of your life.
Definitely. Well, there's not much to say about that, but this guy, he has a problem, and in no way does he represent the way Trent and I live. Trademark. For some reason. Alright. Final little chunk of news we've got today before we get into some intense discussion and debate. Fun. The Old Republic and Skyrim have currently opposing views on same-sex couples. Skyrim's fairly open to the idea of homosexuality and lesbian relationships in general, whereas the Old Republic will not feature any of that. And one developer posted on their forums, Sean Dahlberg, I'm sorry if that's wrong, posted on their forums, "As I have stated before, these are terms that do not exist in Star Wars. Thread closed." That's it. Which, to me, doesn't make an entire lot of sense.
Well, for as much as I understand, throughout nature, you know, homosexuality is reproduced through hundreds of different species. Why is there this opposition in humans towards it? Like, when I think about playing a game, I almost never consider not being able to pair two girls or two guys if there's the whole relationship option open, because it just seems to be in a free-thinking society that something like that is just a given.
Yeah, I mean, I understand that it's not actually spoken of in the lore at all, but you'd think it's something that you could have exist. And BioWare, I'm not saying BioWare's an asshole for this. I mean, BioWare's definitely a great company, yeah. And all of their games, BioWare, Mass Effect, hell, even some of the old Knights of the Old Republic games featured slight undertones of this, but, I mean, they've obviously got nothing wrong with it, which makes you wonder, I mean, what's the problem? I mean, is it? I don't think it could be Star Wars lore. It could be, I mean, EA might have a problem with messing with it and might not want to piss people off, but I couldn't see how this would make people angry either, so I'm quite confused as to why this has happened.
Yeah, I mean, it could be something big, that whole, you know, BioWare's a secret society of, like, Illuminati front forces trying to destroy anyone that likes the same people of their gender. Or,
Illuminati homophobics.
Yeah, pretty much. Or it could come down to something as simple as they didn't exactly think about it when they were writing the game. You know, those are options I can think of at the moment that supports their case.
Yeah, I guess this close to, you know, a beta and eventually releasing the game, it might be hard to change, but I am surprised I didn't think about it. I mean, on the other hand, Skyrim, for the first time in the history of Bethesda, you're going to be able to have a relationship in the game. So you'll, you know, become friends with people, become lovers, marry you, build a home, partner up with people. I don't know about kids.
Marry
but,
five people all at once. It's the thing
Skyrim
to do.
Skyrim is definitely saying it's okay to have cross-species, cross-gender, cross-planet relationships with whatever you want.
Yeah, I can see that. No, it's going to be good.
But
I'm kind of excited.
Just about any male or female character you should be able to hook up with. I mean, aside from important quest NPCs, obviously. And no matter what race you're playing, as long as they're into you, everything will be fine. Just like a real-world relationship.
a quick fact for you, I found out while trolling some forums while researching this topic, was in Morrowind, there was a character that, for one of his quests, game makers must have missed out on this gender check for one of the quests, where he asked girls to strip for him, but he asked guys to strip for him as well, so he was accidentally bisexual.
Awesome! I love it! That's brilliant. Nice little tidbit. I'm just, you know, a little confused about why BioWare has done this, and I'm sure that as time goes on, they'll tell us more, but they have been really, really closed-mouthed, unseasonably closed-mouthed about the Old Republic for a very long time now. But I'm sure we'll see something come out eventually.
Well, hold on, sorry to just get a bit off the beaten path, but wasn't there an option in Mass Effect 2, if you're playing a female character, to get with Jack? Who is also a female, if you haven't played the game.
Yeah, there was Jack, Miranda, Tali, and that Asari chick. You could do it with anyone, which is why it's so odd that they aren't allowing it in the Old Republic, because it is a classic BioWare thing, all the sex, that is.
Yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah, well, I guess that does it for news today. We've run out of stuff to tell you, but we'll be back next week with some more. And, we've got a couple of topics to talk about. Just a couple of things I want to mention,
topics.
And a Deus Ex review just before we head off. And Trent and I'll just talk about our impressions of the game and not give away any spoilers. So, we will have a...
give away all the spoilers.
We will have a spoiler warning right now and later on for that game. So, just be careful, alright? Be careful. But first off, I guess it's a good question, this, and one that I stumbled upon myself listening to podcasts and browsing the net. I mean, why do movie video games suck? Why specifically video games made for movies are terrible all the time? I cannot recall a good movie-based video game. Avatar?
Yeah, Avatar was terrible.
Yeah, Avatar was terrible, Aragorn was terrible, Thor was terrible... Superman games have been terrible. So, I mean, Trent, what's your opinion on this?
Well, from what I've gathered from the way that these games are brought out, is they try to do a couple of things, first off. They try to either make up their own company that's never made a game before and push it out as an original project so the movie company can get as many returns from the hardcore fans of the movie as possible. And or storyline wise they try to go really linear and along with the movie, or they try to do a semi-canon of the movie where some of the main characters pop up except you're not really a part of the action that you saw in the movie. And I think that they're not breaking new ground with their storylines. Like, if you've seen the movie, you pretty much can anticipate what's going to happen through the game, which is a pretty big thing that can be a killer in a game if you can see what's coming up ahead from like 5 miles back. But I also find that they're very linear in their constructions. There's no option to add your own personality to the game, and generally speaking they're pretty buggy, and they're very clunky in the way they move. They're not smooth running whatsoever.
Well, yeah, you've got a really good point there. Often it does just feel like there hasn't been much effort put into it, and the makers are relying a bit too heavily on the popularity of the movie and the story from there, that they don't actually add in their own little creative spark, if I want to get really pretentious about this. So, production value is a big problem for that sort of thing. I mean, movie video games typically look terrible and source all their audio directly from the movie, so it's not exactly up to a great standard when it comes to gaming.
No, definitely.
Maybe if you're a Wii gamer.
I think the only thing I've ever really hardcore played on the Wii was the Wii Fit like a month after I got it. That was about it.
Ooh. Tank Wii Fit.
That's a bit off the topic, but as far as production value for video games based on a movie comes from, is as a bit of an audiophile myself, I find that when I put on like my really good headset or turn up my speakers, you know, really loud and just want to get into a game that's come from a movie that I've enjoyed, I generally find that the samples that they've taken from sounds that come from the movie, quite obviously, it tend to come out really dodgily. Like, they've sort of ignored sound quality, which is a really big part of any game, I think. So I think you have got a really good point there with production value as well, man.
Well, yeah, there's definitely a lot to it. But, of course, you can send all your opinions, guys, audience, you lovable characters that you are. You can send all your opinions to thesimplegamers@gmail.com. And Trent and I here, and maybe even Toby, will read out your responses next week. And we do have another special announcement later on in the show, so stick around for that. I've got a question. Now, this is just a sort of branching type thing. So tell me this, Trent. What failed or successful console have you almost bought?
Oh, okay. What failed or successful console have I almost bought? Is the question? Yes.
What shitty console did you miss out on buying, or what amazing console did you just not buy, and then it turned out to be phenomenal? Like, for me, the most successful thing I missed out on was the GameCube. Because I always wanted one, and I saw all the games for it, and, you know, the GameCube was doing really well against things like the Xbox and the PS2, and it was a fun console in its right, and it had a big hardcore Nintendo following, and I was a Nintendo kid, so I missed out on that. I missed out on the GameCube era before Nintendo went casual. That's sad about. On the other hand, I missed out on really bad consoles like the Game Boy Advance SP, which wasn't very popular, like the Game Boy Micro, which was terrible. There's a lot of stuff out there that I didn't get. Like, and from whatever point of view you may think about the Nintendo 64, which I kind of see as a failed console because it faded from prominence fairly quickly after the PlayStation came around.
Okay, well, because I've been too agreeing with you too much this episode, I'm going to have to counter you on both parts, two parts that you have going there. first off, GameCube, my friend who lived around the corner when I was a kid had one, and I mean, I played Metroid on it, and, you know, I got...
Oh, like, no, pretty, no, don't say it.
I got pretty addicted to, playing Metroid, which was a dodgy game even back then, but, you know, I was a kid, give me a break, but, Super Smash Bros. Was what first brought me into the, thinking about getting a GameCube, and, I mean... I got it, and you know, there was like the big Christmas present for the family every year, and this year it was the GameCube, and you know, with two other brothers, we were all playing it, we had an hour on it each. I had my hour last, so you know, the excitement had been building for 2 hours watching my brothers play, and I think I played maybe a total of 4 hours that day, but it was that day that I realized that I was not into the GameCube. The controller felt like they were trying far too hard to be original, and the shape just wasn't ergonomic to the hands, and I remember thinking, this is not a comfortable system to sit down and have a go at playing. And on another hand, I mean, I was brought up as a Nintendo kid, so I was surprised not to like the GameCube.
You're fading out again.
But the Nintendo 64, so the other night I was going through my drawers upstairs, underneath the TV cabinet, saw the old N64 lying there, and I turned to Mum, and I was like, okay, Mum, when I move out, I'm taking the Nintendo 64 and all of our games with me, because no one else plays it but me anymore. I mean, I still sit down every now and then and play Shadows of the Empire, and play Star Wars Rogue Squadron, and Donkey Kong, and
brilliant
Star Wars Pod Racer. Some of the Star Wars games were the best, but all I can think when I'm playing them is looking at the dodgy looking sprites and the polyphonic music soundtrack and think about how amazing it is.
Well, what did you miss out on then, man? Because you've had a lot of fun with some of the obviously the really good consoles that I skipped over around. So what did you miss out on? Or did you just get everything you ever wanted?
No, definitely not. There was a lot of game consoles that I missed. I'm just trying to think of sort of the biggest one that I can think that I've missed out on as such. I mean, I've never been that into consoles personally, but I'd say it was the PS3 that I've missed out on the most. Because, I mean, despite the
recent
fact...
ones.
Yeah, I know. I think it's because I've realized more recently where my tastes in gaming have lied. But it was... Like, as a kid, I got, you know, the Red Faction and Killzone, well, not really as a kid, like, you know, early teens, and got Killzone for the PS2. And I remember playing both of them and loving both of them, and, you know, I'll go back and still play Killzone today, even though it's buggy as all hell. But, you know, the new Killzone 2 and Killzone 3 have come out, despite the fact everyone says it's dodgy as... It's just one of those games I play as a kid that I just want to.
One of those
playing.
Things you wish you could play.
Yeah, but
I'm sure everyone will get that.
Yeah, but for the Blu-ray
I've always
DVD
wanted a PS3
built in. Yeah.
Of course.
And I'm just saying it has a much classier look in the home menu than what I think the Xbox 360 does.
To be fair, the Xbox 360 has improved, but I've always wanted a PS3. For games, you know, like Little Big Planet, these games that will never make it to Xbox, and I'll never get to play because I don't approve that much of the rest of the PS3's titles,
yep.
Its pricing, and Sony itself. But that's another topic entirely. So, guys, I once again, I know I've said the email address a lot during this time, but if you send us what failed/successful console did you miss out on, we'll definitely read it out next week and give our own opinions on what's going on. And, well, yeah, there you go. You might want to send those in to us, and we'll love to hear what this is, because every gamer out there has had to miss out on something, unless they're like fucking Richie Rich or you know, Bill Gates' kids or something. You've skipped over something either because you didn't have the money or because you didn't realize what a hit or what a failure it'd be. But yeah.
Or if you have a PC, you can just sit back and acknowledge the fact that PCs are awesome. Whatever.
We are PC guys, but we'll still love to hear from you. The most... Well, you know, talking of PCs, the biggest title in a fair while, at least for hardcore PC gamers, Deus Ex Human Revolution. Trent and I both got it. I got it on launch date, so did he. He's finished it. I sadly have not. I haven't had the time he's had because he's a little lazy. But, you know, we just want to give you guys our general impressions of the game. If you haven't bought this game already, I'll say straight off, buy it. If you like RPGs, or if you like spy games, or if you like really in-depth games that go deep into lore, I mean, get it. It's not an incredibly expensive game, no matter where you live. Here, even in Australia, it's not expensive. The combat might be a little sloppy at some points, but that game is really, really fun. It's so fun I don't have words for it.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. I think you should hit your first impression goes first, I think. Because you haven't finished the game yet. It's your mark of disrespect.
Well, I've played it for something like, I think, 12, 14 hours so far. I've only just gotten past the... I've only just gotten to the second city in the game, and I'll try not to spoil anything. I don't know, just a quick review of everything. Its art style, it's not as definitive as they made it out to be, but the art style in that game definitely has its own representations, and it's very well done, so that, you know, no matter where you are, everything has its own sort of, it has its own look to it, like it should, and a lot of games, you know, sometimes don't get it right in areas, but Deus Ex gets it right perfectly on how things should look and feel while you're walking around in them. Let's think of more good things. The stealth in that game, it's a lot of fun to sneak past people and try and challenge yourself to be not lethal and, you know, even just try and not get detected by anyone and shut down all the security cameras in an area or hack into all the terminals or find every single path into an area if you want to. If you find it fun, you can do it. And, the amount of routes you can take to complete an objective startles me, because I'll try not to spoil anything. I had to break into a club, and I was just wandering around, and then there were some guys in an alleyway, and they're like, hey, man, hey, there's a back alleyway, and you can get in through there, and my friend, he won't tell me where the entrance is, but it's there. And I was like, oh, really? Really? So, I mean, the developers obviously put it there deliberately, and it is fairly easy to find if you just wander a little way from the quest line. But it just means that if you don't, you can walk straight up to the club, and then, you know, you have to pay the bouncer some money to get in. But instead, I spent 15 minutes looking for the hidey hole to get into. I found it. I found some sweet loot. I broke into about 50 storage sheds on my way there, and I got in. I snuck in. It was fun. I mean, that game has a lot of... There's a lot of potential in even just discussing it with your friends. Like, I can walk up to Trent and go, hey, man, you done this mission? Well, I mean, I walked in there and killed everybody in the room. And then, like, everyone was pissed because I shot all their friends. What did you do? And, you know, it promotes discussion. I guess graphics are good. The game runs smoothly on PCs. I'm not sure about consoles, and I don't even want to think about it because it has reported to be a little buggy and choppy. It's fun. The combat's interesting. The lore is deep, and you can run around and hack as many terminals as you want and read everyone's emails and be, in general, just a dirty little hacky bitch. Find as much info as you can. Find codes for stuff. And the only complaint I might have is that the combat in the game is a little sloppy. I mean, aiming's a little difficult at some point if you don't have laser sights on everything. And targeting isn't as exactly as easy as it is in other games like Gears of War. And blind firing around a corner, a guy could be standing right next to your corner and you could be firing right into his groin and you wouldn't hit him. At all. Which is ridiculous for blind fire.
Nah, feel the pain.
I don't know. Trent's going to say this, so I may as well get it out of the way. The major complaint from your reviewers has been the boss fights. I've only had one so far, but I've been going stealth non-lethal the entire time, and having a boss fight, I can't do it. Like, I walk in there, and I have to somehow take all this stealth gear I've got and kill him. I mean, I was only lucky enough to have, like, grenades and remote detonation packs on me, enough to destroy him. So those are the only complaints I have about the game. It's really great, and, I don't know, Trent, anything you want to add on to that? It's a good game, overall, I'd say. I'd give it, like, a 9.
Yeah, no, I agree. I'd probably give it a 9.5 now that I've finished it. But, okay, I'll just run through from start to finish like Luke has, give my own unique perspective on it. But basically...
Do it, man, do it.
Basically, the first moment I entered into this game, I knew where I was, you know. I was there with this guy in this sick trench cloak, and he was walking around like this pristine white facility, and outside these windows that you see, there's like this dark gothic Blade Runner-esque black and gold city you have going down. And I look at it, and I'm looking at the color palette that's being used, and I'm just like, mind blown. Okay, it's sort of like the only way to describe it, because I'm just so sucked in straight away by this art style. And I mean, the first Deus Ex, I still play. And I mean, people sometimes ask me about the dodgy graphics, and I'm like, I've never really realized the graphics, because what I find runs both between this Deus Ex and the first one is it has such a strong storyline that you don't pay much attention to the graphics. I mean, there has been...
Well, yeah, sorry, I haven't played the first Deus Ex, but definitely a lot of the opinions I've been hearing of that, it really sticks to the idea of the first game, and if you like the first game, you'll definitely love this one. Unless you're a hardcore guy who thinks they've simplified it even more, despite the fact they've only gotten rid of all the boring stat modifying abilities.
Yep. No, I completely agree with that. But, the only sort of graphics issue I really have a complaint about is when you go to talk to have a conversation with someone, which, I mean, you have lots of conversations with different people, the facial animations that are given don't really sort of support what the emotions they're feeling, unless it's a major character in a major, major moment. But I remember this one time I walked up to a group of 3 people, and they all made all the same hand actions in the exact same time. And
there is a little bit of a problem with the AI in that game.
I sat back and I thought, that was disgusting. Honestly, I've been loving this game so much, but that was gross.
you probably would have noticed this, Trent. The worst bit in that game, and guys, this is right at the start, so it's not much of a spoiler, is the black woman at the end of the facility that is being held hostage. She is the worst voice acted, and she has the worst animations I've seen in a very, very long time. I was really disappointed by that. It jars you out of the game.
It does, but I think it quickly sucks you back in, because as much as there have been moments like that, or when I've noticed sort of the same sound samples of guards, death noises, or whatever, the game just keeps sucking me back in. But, so some good things first off is definitely the variety and opinion you have in choosing what way you go about what you're doing. I mean, I have the same complaint about boss fights, because, I mean, even from a skill and experience point of view, you're rewarded for being non-lethal in a game. So for knocking out an enemy, you get 40 points, and for killing an enemy, you only get 20. So, I mean, throughout the game, you're rewarded for knocking people out and then hiding the bodies somewhere. Whereas, as soon as you get into a boss fight, it feels strange, because all of a sudden, you know, you're pumping all your grenades into them, all of your mines, all of your ammunition, and you come out of a boss fight with just about no weapons, like no ammunition, which is generally reasonably hard to find in the first place, but I concur with all the good things Luke's been through. A funny thing I did find out is I was reading reviews for Human Revolution and the first Deus Ex, and just about all the of the same points are addressed. Like, all the good points that are the same, or reasonably the same, and then all of the bad points are the same-ish. But one of the main things that annoyed me through the game was hacking, because, I mean, it's considered considered to be one of the largest pillars of the game. You know, there's stealth, hacking, lethal, and adaptive, or whatever. But I found that hacking in the game, especially towards the end, because, I mean, I had clocked up 25 hours of playtime and just about had hacked through every lock. But after you get sort of all of the upgrades for hacking, you know, you go up to a lock and you're like, okay, I'll just use these expendable programs on this one. And, you know, you threw it in a couple of seconds and the enjoyment and the excitement is really taken out of it. Because I think that every hacking situation you get into is very the same-ish. But,
yeah, that's fair enough. I mean, hacking is very samey, but for a hacking game, it's average in the way that it's one of the few games that does it in the least annoying way possible, and the reward for hacking, I think, is great enough that it draws you through the hacking. And I mean, I do enjoy it, and it is a little more fun when the risk is there, but as you get towards the middle of the game, if you've upgraded your hacking abilities enough, and you've got, like, nukes and worms and stuff, which basically stop you from being detected, it does suck the fun out of a little bit. It does suck the thrill of being caught out of it, if you will. Which is a little disappointing, but it's really hard to do a hacking game nowadays.
Well, what I figured, and my main suggestion if you're playing this game or going to buy it now, because we've been that convincing in our review of it, which we obviously have been, is put it onto the hardest setting. Which is This Is Deus Ex or something along those lines, and try to play through the game without saving as much, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. So
yeah,
if you want to go through like the entire game as a stealth guy, except suddenly you're detected, you know, don't load back to the last autosave back through just the next room and try to go stealthy again, you know. Try and cap that guard and then go hide somewhere and wait for everyone to stop looking for you.
Yeah, don't try and pull off perfect missions because there aren't achievements for it. And, well, there are very few at least, and it will break the flow of the game. And the best difficulty setting I could recommend is the middle one, and it will say to you when you start it up, it's challenging, but it still gives you opportunity to cruise through it and pay most of your attention to the story. It's the one I picked because I wanted to be able to go through that game and be able to enjoy the story, but I do like a challenge in it, and it has been a really challenging game to play through from the very start, at least being non-lethal and trying not to be detected by anyone. And, of course, I have had to kill everybody in a room every couple of times, but it's fun to kill people, and that's why we play games.
No, definitely. One final grievance I had with it was the canned animations for takedowns, because, you know, you're performing takedowns just about, I don't know, maybe once every between 10 and 20 minutes, depending on whether you're just roaming or, you know, you're doing an actual mission. So yeah, takedowns, I think, got really tiresome because there was the same thing over and over again. The coolest takedowns of all time, you can get an upgrade that allows you to take down two enemies at once, and when you do a lethal one against them, some of the coolest things happen with your ceramic blade, so I'll definitely suggest giving that a go.
Well, but, yeah. In the developer's defense, they did patch it immediately after when they noticed that happening, where the same takedown would play over and over again. It is patched now, that so it'll vary up, but there still are a limited amount of takedown animations in the game, at least. Which I don't have that much of a problem with, but for some people it might get pretty annoying.
No, definitely. But overall, as I said, I'd hit up with a 9.5 because I mean, I finished it just last night, And I was so dedicated to the game, I finished it up about 12:30. I had school today. And I just thought to myself, I'm within the last half an hour of this game. I need to finish it. I was just so hooked on that moment when you finally finish a game. And I mean, I haven't felt like that about really anything for probably since maybe... What was the last game? Maybe the first Halo?
Wow.
And that's been a while away.
Well, guys, we both love it. That's the important thing. It's a really good game, and I'm glad that Deus Ex doesn't have to bear the burden of shitty sequels forever. After Invisible War, you kind of felt that was Deus Ex's reputation forever, but they've done a good job with this prequel. And to tell the truth, I wouldn't mind them putting out a game in another year or two that's in the same world, maybe not the same character, maybe it's a spin-off of the original game, but I wouldn't mind playing through it because they truly do make good, unique games in an industry that at the moment has kind of restricted itself in a lot of ways.
Yeah, no, definitely. I definitely go through and play any other games that they produce along the Deus Ex series as long as they're ready to put in the time and effort they have with the first Deus Ex and Human Revolution.
And that they have. So, I mean, guys, if you see it somewhere for a price that's okay for you, you should definitely at least try it out, pick it up. You can always return it if you don't like it, at least if you buy it on console. But we would recommend you get it on PC, as the hacking is reportedly quite... at least entering codes is reportedly quite annoying on console without a number pad or keys. Anyway, that's about all I've got to say about Deus Ex. Anything you want to finish up with there, Trent?
No, I mean, I've gone through my extensive list of things that I've had
to
say, but...
I really hope we've convinced people.
Yeah, no, definitely, because it's definitely something, a game that I've been really passionate about, and I'm definitely going to go through for another playthrough, just to make sure I've experienced everything I can. But yeah, get as hooked as I did, you'll have a blast.
Get hooked, guys. Really, it's a brilliant game. Well...
Oh, wait, when you're done, though, you have to grind down the disc and smoke it in a bong. Then you'll get even more hooked, and it'll be fantastic, trust me. It'll be a
Trent's
mind-blowing experience.
That.
Yeah, I have.
Alright. Well, anyway, guys, I guess that's all we've got for you this week. We've had an exceptionally... Well, not an exceptionally long episode, but a longer episode than usual. I've enjoyed having Trent here instead of Toby. It's given us a little bit of variation. I hope you guys have loved him visiting us just as much. He's definitely an awesome host.
Always.
Anyway, just in closing, guys, big announcement to all you podcasting lovers. Drum roll, please, Trent. That's right, and guess what? Next week, host of Jump Jump Die, Elliot Birch, will be joining us for an episode when we sit down and talk about MMOs. Recently, Trent and I have been playing EVE a lot, and we'll get into a bit of a discussion about that, as well as the way free-to-play is going, what's going on with the Old Republic, how stupid is BioWare, basically all that MMO stuff that you love to hear. And you can obviously enjoy how obsessed we are with the genre in general.
Yeah.
So definitely listen in on that one, guys. And you can also, of course, check out Elliot Birch at Jump Jump Die on Facebook, on iTunes, and join his group on Steam. So he's a nice guy. I've had a little chat to him. And I am definitely looking forward to meeting up with him and having Trent, me and him, sit down, have a chat about some video games.
Sounds like fun.
It'll be a good chat for the entire Simple Gaming community. Anyway... In closing, guys, remember to email us with your answers to those questions, movie games and why they suck, and what failed successful consoles did you almost buy, and we'll read them out as soon as we get your emails. I love emails, guys. I need to feel loved. And Trent, he needs them for sustenance.
I do. I eat them. My breakfast consists of emails, guys. I can't eat breakfast without you guys.
You don't want to lose Trent, do you?
No, they don't. I can see it in their eyes.
I can feel it in their hearts. But remember, guys, email us your answers at thesimplegamers@gmail.com. And as always, you can find us on iTunes under Simple Gamers, and you can also leave us a review and make sure iTunes gets us noticed. Find us more listeners to blab about how crazy we are, and we'll definitely read out some of your reviews, no matter what they are. Hopefully they're good, though.
You'll crush the kids' confidence if they're not.
Yeah, that's true. I'll be hurt. As always, you can check out our YouTube channel. There aren't many videos up there at the moment, but I will steadily increase my video output and the quality of that output through feedback, and I look forward to providing you guys with a stable community for you to love and enjoy. And that's about it we've got for this week, guys. Enjoy the rest of your Friday night, enjoy your weekend, enjoy all these new releases that will be coming out in a couple of months. Go buy Deus Ex, and I guess this is goodbye from me and Trent.
Yep. For all those who are about to game, I salute you.
Yes. Remember, game simply, but game hard. Fight the war, brothers. Baby, baby, baby.